빌립보 지방에서 복음을 전하는 것은
It was not in Apostle Paul's plan at all to deliver the gospel to the Philippi area. The heated argument that Paul had with Barnabas before the second mission trip because of Mark meant that he could no longer go with Barnabas. Now to Paul, Barnabas was more than just a colleague. He was deeply indebted to him. It was Barnabas who believed that Paul had turned toward Jesus Christ when no one believed him. And it was Barnabas who called him as the co-pastor of Antioch Church when Paul was living like a failure, secluding himself for no less than 13 years in Tarsus. And because Barnabas and Mark left for the places of their first mission trip, he had to take off with Silas to the opposite direction. He met Timothy in Lystra and was accompanied by him, and everywhere they went, the faith of the churches became stronger and the number of Christians increased. And this was like comfort being provided by God to Paul, but the Holy Spirit did not allow Paul's party to preach the words at Asia Minor, where Laodicea and Colossae were located. So he wanted to head to Bithynia, but the Holy Spirit did not allow that either. When Paul's party had gone down to Mysia to Troas, Paul came to see a vision at night. It was a vision of a Macedonian man asking him to come to Macedonia and help them. And Paul became convinced that the vision was God's will and headed to Philippi. Because Philippi was an area which was given by the Roman emperor to his men who did well in battle. The people who lived there were also Roman citizens and had laws and systems in the same way as people who lived in Rome. Therefore, Philippi was a Roman empire in a reduced scale, and this was a source of great pride for people of Philippi. The church of Philippi began with Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth who had listened to the words Paul was preaching, and a girl who had been possessed by an evil spirit and telling fortunes, the prison guard of Philippi prison, and his family. If we were to look at Paul's life up to now, it appears that nothing had gone according to his plan. His heated argument with Barnabas, his leaving with Silas to the mission trip, his giving circumcision to Timothy, half-Jewish, and making him his colleague, that he was blocked from preaching the word in Asia Minor, that his plan to go to Bithynia did not come through, he's seeing the vision of Macedonian men, that when he preached at a place of prayer, that Lydia, dealer of purple cloth, listened to the words he was delivering. The girl who told fortune being possessed by an evil spirit became a member of the church. That he was imprisoned, but that the doors of the prison opened, and all that had bound the prisoners became loose because of the earthquake. That he came to give baptism to the prison guard who tried to commit suicide and his family. All these were not something that Paul had thought of. But all these were the unseen, mysterious leadings of God. Because of these events, Paul came to write a letter to the Philippian church, and God made it a part of the Bible. And 2,000 years later, we are sharing grace through these words. So, although we may be certain that God loves us, we come to experience something that was totally unexpected. Or if the plans that seem so certain go wrong, and we come to walk another road which had not thought of before, then for sure these are God's leadings. To us, it may look like things are going wrong, but God looks at us from a vantage point which is much higher than where we are and knows us. When the family's finances suddenly become worse, or when I suddenly have to leave from a job that seemed safe until retirement, when my child or I thought for sure that he or she would get into a college or a department of his or her choice, but ends up at a college that he or she doesn't want or has to study again for college entrance examination. When I thought certain of a job, but I have to continue to write resumes and introductory letters for a job, or when the family relationship, which seemed fine, suddenly becomes so tangled that one does not know where to start to undo the knots. And when a young couple comes to have a baby whom they hadn't planned on having, the parents usually become greatly flustered. And these babies, most of the time, come to be labeled as unwanted kids, and parents, sometimes without much thinking, even joke with other people that they came to have the child by mistake. And many parents raise these kids, blaming the child for ruining their plans. And so the kids who experience such treatment from their parents grow up expressing oppression by pain all their lives. But if God has given a child, even if the parents had not planned to have the child, then there is a God's plan for this child. A human being cannot nullify God's plan. Therefore, one must raise such a child in greater humility. God, through Apostle Paul, has told us that we are not beings outside of Jesus Christ, but we are beings within Jesus Christ, distinguished beings, God's holy people, who are not within Adam or the secular values known as Rome. God says this to us today, verse 2, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." On the surface, this looks like a greeting, but this is more than just a greeting. It is the essence of the Christian faith. One of the founding purposes of our church is to care for Yangwajin Forum Missionary Cemetery and Korean Christian Martyrs Memorial. At Yangwajin Forum Missionary Cemetery, missionaries who came from far away, not being afraid of losing their lives in order to deliver the gospel to our people who did not know what gospel was, are buried. Therefore, Yangwajin Forum Missionary Cemetery is the starting point of the Korean Protestant Church, and on the other hand, at Korean Martyrs Memorial, Christians who died while keeping the faith during the Japanese colonial regime and Korean War are buried. And so, it is the end point of our faith. In grace and peace, if grace is the starting point of our faith, peace is like the end point of our faith. Therefore, if it weren't for God's grace and the Lord's peace, Philippians would not have been written, Apostle Paul himself would not have existed, and before that, there would be no coming of Jesus Christ to this earth, and there would not be the election of Israel people by God as his people. Now, so verse 1 to 2 is not simple words of greeting, but it's the beginning of Philippians and its essence, and it is the And it is an apex, it is a point that connects the beginning and the end of our faith. Now, the grace is a difficult concept to define in one word. And the word which comes close to this word is agape, which means love. The first Greek translation of the Bible, which was written in Hebrew, is known as the 70-persons translation Bible. Ptolemy II, who was the king of Egypt during 285 to 247 BC, wished to have the Old Testament, which was in Hebrew, translated into Greek and store it in the library of Alexandria, of which he was proud of. So, according to the request of the king, Eleazar, who was the high priest residing in Jerusalem at the time, picked six people from each of the 12 tribes, altogether 72 persons, and sent them to Egypt, and together with the scrolls of the Bible. The collection of translations made by each of these people over 72 days is called the 70 persons translation Bible. In Hebrew, there is a word in Hebrew. There is a word called hesed. It means God's unconditional love, love that is given without regard to any actions of men. And there was no Greek word that was similar to this word. So the word which was newly made for the Hebrew word was agape, which means love. In the ancient world, there were many other words which meant love. Philos, which meant brotherly love, and eros, which meant love between men and a woman. Now, philos is referred to in the New Testament, but the word eros does not appear in the New Testament. What would be the reason that the word eros is not mentioned once in the New Testament? Would it have been because it is lowly, instinctive, and is geared towards pleasure? No, it was not used for the opposite reason. These days, eros is used to connote a sexual concept, and usually not in the normal context, but to convey something of a decadence. So today, the word erotic, which connotes sexual desire, is used frequently. But in ancient time, eros had a higher and elegant meaning. People thought that eros truly gave human traits to people, that it advanced culture and maintained the world. The meaning of eros was to be attracted to the value and beauty of the other and to make that other mine. The reason that one studied was because of eros, because I'm attracted to the value of studying. And the reason that I have a certain job is because of the value that job has, and because such value attracts me. So the fact that I'm attracted by it and have this job is also eros. And this is the same for being attracted to the opposite sex. I'm attracted by the charm, beauty, and the greatness of the other. So I marry him or her. And also the love for the country was also eros. The country protects my life and protects my family and even my descendants. Therefore, it had value worthy for me to give my life. Therefore, this word could not be used to describe God's love in connection with the works of Jesus Christ. The minute this word was used, people would think that God has sent His Son and Jesus died on the cross because there is something about us, some condition or attractiveness or value to human beings. Therefore, to portray God's unilateral love for human beings who had no value, possibility, or meaning, the word agape was made. And this word is the same as the word grace. The word grace has three meanings. The first is to receive without price. The thing that one receives after paying the price is a transaction. If we have to pay a price for everything that God gives us, who could possibly pay for them? How much is the price of the sunlight which brings light and warmth to the world so that living things can live? If we were to put price on the air that we breathe, how much would that be? And for how much money could we buy the earth on which God has permitted us to live? If we were to pay the price for being born to this earth, how much would that be? To receive without paying for it means that we lack the ability to pay for it. Therefore, God has just given us everything for free. The second meaning of grace is to receive a good thing. Even if we were to get something for free, if it has no value or is a harmful thing, then we would not be better off for having received it. And the fact that God has given us good things means that we lack the judgment to tell what good thing is. The best thing that God gives us is Himself and eternal life. Before God has given us the eternal life, there was no person who asked for it from God. That we knew the importance of eternal life and that we became beings that asked for it means that God has already given the eternal life to us for free. The third meaning of grace is receive in goodwill. Although we have no qualification to receive it, God has given us out of His special love for us. In the first part of Amos chapter 3, verse 2, there are these words, "You only have I chosen of all the families of the earth." That God only chose the people of Israel meant that the relationship between God and Israel people were that much special. When a man confesses his love for the woman and says, "Among all women in the world, you're the only one for me. I know of no other woman but you." This does not mean that he has no mother or no sisters. And in the schools that he attended, in junior high or in high school and even elementary school, there were only boys. And that in his workplace, there are only male employees and no women. It means that you are that precious to me. But this does not mean that this woman is as beautiful as Kim Tae-hee or Song Hye-kyo or some TV talent, or is smart and has great personality and also talented on top of that. To the contrary, other people on hearing this confession may think it curious, but at least to the person who is making the confession, it feels like there is no other person like that woman in the whole world. The reason that God chose Israel people was not because they had certain deserving qualities. They were little in number, stiff-necked people who were rebellious. But God treated them with goodwill. We are the same way. Although we are no better than other people, we became people who received special love of God. So although there are people who are better than us, who are more capable than us, They still live outside of Jesus Christ without the eternal hope. But we became people who reside within the grace of God. The word peace does not only mean the state of absence of war. Although there is no war going on in our country currently, we cannot say that our society is peaceful. Whether a country is in Asia or in Africa or in Europe, no matter where it happens to be in the world, even if there is no war, you cannot say that this country is at peace. The original meaning of peace is original perfection and united. To say it more precisely, it means that before it was divided and was broken, but now it has become one. Men were initially created to live in perfect unity with God as one. But after the fall of Adam and Eve, there came to be a wall between us and God that human beings cannot possibly destroy. Jesus Christ, by becoming the sacrifice of peace offering, destroy that wall for us. So we came once again to be in a peaceful relationship with God. Chapter 5, verse 1 of Romans testifies as follows. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace that God gives to us, which resides within our hearts, is important. But more important is the peace that comes from fellowship with God. That the president gives me an expensive gift may make us feel great, but to continue to have relationship with him is incomparable to receiving a gift. And further, only those who are in peace relationship with God can live in peace with others. If the united relationship between us and God is broken, then the peaceful relationship between us and other people are bound to become broken. Therefore, the best gift that we enjoy on this earth is to continue in peace relationship with God. Let us take a look at verse 2 of today's text again. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul did not say, may grace and peace be with you, but added on the long phrase so that it reads, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He is saying that the person who speaks of grace and peace is God and Jesus Christ. No matter how outstanding of an apostle Paul is, he is just a human being with limitations. The peace and grace from a person to another person is all just a wish, and therefore they have no power. But the Word of God is different. Although the person sending the letter is Apostle Paul, the person who makes him speak of it is God. Therefore, these words bring hope to us. Also, Paul could have just said God, but he adds the words our Father, the God, the Creator, is our Father, is what he's trying to say. Now, Father is the same word as dad. Now, God who appears in the Old Testament appear in concept as a king. But And so the rule by God was paramount, and the core message that Jesus delivered when he came to this earth was about the kingdom of God. So therefore, superficially, the point about the sovereignty of God seems to be the same. But Jesus did not tell us to call God as king, but as father, as Abba. So the Abba, God, does not rule over us, but loves us. This is what Jesus has told us. The chapter in the Bible which best describes God, who is our Abba, is chapter 15 of Luke, which is about the father who waits for the second son who has left home. Father does not ignore the problems of how his children make their living. He does his best to help his children grow up healthy and in the right way, bodily as well as mentally. If the children were to go down a wrong path, he tries to correct them, sometimes in words, sometimes through punishment. And later, he wants to give everything he owns to them. That God treats us the same way. He knows our needs. He guides us so that we will mature in the right way. And when we go down a wrong path, he corrects us by events and people in our lives. And he gives us all blessings that belong to heaven and gives us the eternal life. The grace and peace which have come upon us are not only from God, our Father, but also from Jesus Christ. The word Lord is meant to refer to God. Israel people could not call on the name of God, so instead they called him Adonai. If this word is translated into Greek, it is curious. Jesus means Savior, and Christ means the Anointed One. Therefore, Lord Jesus Christ means God is my acknowledged Savior. Only this person, by having his body torn and bleeding on the cross, has delivered to us grace and peace. And it is such a great hope to us that the person who has sent Jesus Christ to us is our Father God. I will read to you a writing which was submitted by a woman in a Christian magazine about her father. When I was young, my memory of my father, who was a government official, was that he was very strict. If we have to get money from him for school or buy school supplies, my mother always intervened on our behalf. That's how much we feared him. And it was one day in May of 1980. I had come to Gwangju to live with my brother, who was a college student, and my sister, who was a freshman at a high school. But then Gwangju uprising happened. Tension came over the entire Gwangju city, and transportation were no longer available, and telephone lines outside of the city were cut off, and we could not go home where my parents were or to call them. And at the time, all kinds of rumors apparently spread at our hometown about how the homes of college students in Gwangju were all searched and the students were taken away and they were all killed. My father, when he heard that, could not go to sleep. And as soon as the daylight broke, he walked the entire way, which was long enough to use up the sole of rubber shoes to come to Gwangju. This was solely to find out what had happened to us. On his way to find us, he called the house where we were renting a room, but when the phone kept on ringing without anyone picking it up, he thought, they're not okay. And because of this fearful thought, his legs kept shaking and he could not walk. Now, from the place where he had called us, there was about 3 blocks that he had to cross. And he made those difficult steps and walked that long distance to reach us. At the sound of the bell, I stopped doing laundry and ran to the gate and asked who it was. It's me. It was an unexpected voice. When I opened the door, surprised, my sister also ran out. So you are alive. As soon as we opened the door, he held our hands tightly. And maybe because of his throat tightened, he could no longer say anything. At that time, I saw my father's tears for the first time. From the overflowing tears of my father and his warm hands that held on to ours, I felt the love of our father, which broke through the hard outer shell. At the time, he surprised us by wearing a white rubber shoes, which were covered in dust and wearing old clothes. But there was a reason for that. At each road that led into Gwangju, army kept guard, and thinking that it would be difficult for him to come in or outside of the city, he took off his usual clothes and made himself look like a poor country farmer. Our father, who was always so careful to keep his dignity for countless years, threw it out the window for his children, whom he loved. Each time, at months near May, I think of how my father looked that day. I think of the white rubber shoes, which was covered in dust and covering the long distance that he walked to look for his children. Although he didn't have many words, he always had warmth. Although at times he looked like he didn't understand us, but he was our protector who put his life on the line when it was dangerous. And when it was necessary for his children, he could shed all outer shells that he had kept as a government official in a moment. A person like the shoes that he was wearing that day, my father. Now, our physical fathers love children, protects them in situation of danger, and in order to confirm that they're well, he risks his life. And what more would our Father in Heaven do for us? God loves us, who are worthless beings. He does not give up on us and gave us His grace to the extent of sending His Son to die on the cross for us. And so, due to such grace, we live in peace with God. I pray that the grace and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ will be with you all today. Let us pray. Our Father God, we did not know who you were and did not know what had eternal value. However, despite this, you have shown special love for us and gave us your grace. We thank you for this. We confess that it was your love that has made us into who we are today. And we thank you that by the Lord becoming the peace offering for us, we are able to be in a relationship of peace with God. For this reason, help us not to be arrogant while living in this world, and help us to remember what our beginning was like. Although at times the things may not always go according to our thoughts or plan, help us not to doubt that they are due to your interventions. In the same way that physical, biological fathers risk their lives when their children are in danger, may move us always that Father God has given His Son for us. Has suffered all difficulties and insults on the cross, and help us not to commit the foolishness of ruining our relationship with God in our effort to keep peaceful relationship with the world, and help us not to live with a mask on, ignoring the fact that we have twisted our relationship with you because our wrongs are not apparent, and may our lives always be at the apex of grace and peace. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.